Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I just want to welcome you this evening. The title of my message tonight is Help Wanted, Watchmen. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." If you think about a Help Wanted ad, when you're looking through the wanted ad, if you're going to apply for that position, you need to be qualified. You need to have the skill set that matches that. And in order to have the skill set to match that, you have to gain that experience through working at it, figuring it out. What does it take to be in that position? What does it take to do that? You have to have a desire to want to be able to fulfill that if you're even going to apply. And even if you apply and you receive that job, how are you going to be successful? By continuing to learn, continuing to educate yourself. Think about it, when you have a job and you get an annual review, they tell you whether you've done well or areas that you need to improve on. Sometimes, most of the time, they tell you that you need to do both. That you've done okay, but you need to do this. So, being a watchman and trying to apply for this, you'd have to train yourself up. You'd have to be equipped. You'd have to be prepared to be able to do this. Turn with me, please, to Acts 20:29. Sometimes you may see a wanted ad, and it just sounds exciting. Sounds like something that, hey, I'd like to do that. You know, as many of you know, right now I'm looking for a job, and I may see a wanted ad, and I go, that sounds really exciting. I think that I could do that. And then you go through the qualifications, and I go, not really qualified, but man, I like that title. I like the way that sounds. I would like to be able to say that that's my title. And so often in the church, so many people like the title of being a watchman, but don't really understand what it means, and they don't have the qualifications. They just like the title. Acts 20:29 says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So we need to watch and remember that in these perilous times, there's those who come in who have this title or may say they're a pastor or a preacher, but they don't necessarily have the truth. They have a part truth. And that's what this is talking about, that people will come in and try to draw you away with a tantalizing word or a tantalizing message that has part truth. But you need to watch for that. You need to be prepared for that. You need to be ready to recognize when it's right or it's wrong and whether or not it lines up with the Word of God and be able to guide and direct those around you. Please turn to Ezekiel 33:7 and hold your place there. Every believer is called to be a spiritual watchman to some degree in his or her prayer life. Each and every person. It may be a watchman upon the walls of your family or the walls of your church. Well, what is a watchman? In order to be able to apply or understand what it is, you need to know what it is. A spiritual watchman is someone who has been equipped by God to see with spiritual eyes the truth. Can you? In all things? Many people call themselves Christians, and they say that they are, but their eyes are fogged over. They're glazed over by riding the fence, by part truth. By living partly in the world, but going to church on Sunday and hearing a word, receiving the word, but going out into the world and doing whatever they desire to do. And so they can't see. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is being able to see the truth. In a passage describing the extremely important function and responsibilities of the prophets, Ezekiel declared the watchman's crucial responsibility to warn of impending danger. If the watchman failed in their task, they would be guilty of the blood of the people they were to watch over. In Ezekiel 33:7, God tells Ezekiel, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Verse 7 here leaves us with no doubt that this is a watchman, and not a watchman of fleshly war, but it's a spiritual watchman. A watchman of men's souls. And that's what we're called to be. The watchman must be observant of the sins of the people they guide and watch over. They must not see the sin, but bring it to their attention. Why? So they can repent. In verse 8 it says, "When I saw the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." Notice that it says, "O wicked man," instead of "men" here. This is speaking individually of a person's sin in their life. The watchman's not responsible to see that the person repents. He's responsible to tell them of their sin. It's their decision whether or not to allow God to work in their heart and repent or not. The punishment, if the watchman tells them, is not their own, not the watchman's, because the watchman will have fulfilled their duty by doing as they were instructed. The watchman sounded the warning, and that's what we're called to do. In verse 7 through 9 in Ezekiel, God is talking with Ezekiel, and he begins this by calling Ezekiel son of man, which is what God has been calling him. He's warning Ezekiel that if he does not tell the wicked, he will bear their sins. If he does tell them, he will live, and those who do not heed his warning will die. I don't want to be responsible for anybody else in their sins. If I see their sins and God has put me in their life to be a watchman over my family, a watchman in the church, it's our job to call sin, sin. We can't force anyone to bow their knee, to go to the cross, to lay that sin down at the cross. But we can speak to them in love. The Word of God tells us every believer has been given eyes to see and ears to hear. However, a watchman has to be trained and equipped by God to see what others don't see. A watchman must be able to see when the army is invading. When the enemy tries to come in, a spiritual watchman is alert. They are aware of the attack and they blow the trumpet that produces a loud sound so that family members can be quickly warned and not destroyed. The watchman may be given spiritual eyes to see something that's happening in the life of the church also. To see something has come in and there's turmoil and conflict. Bless you, brother. We need to be aware. We need to be watchful. And we need to not be silent. If there was, in fact, a wanted ad for a watchman, it wouldn't say a watchman just sees and observes and hears. No. A watchman blows the trumpet. The watchman sounds the warning, the enemy is approaching, or the enemy has slipped in. That's what a watchman does. They don't stand by. In history, the watchman on the wall shouldered the responsibility and the safety of the entire city. The city could sleep peacefully at night knowing the watchman was on the wall. If the watchman, with the uniqueness of their sight and hearing, noticed that the enemy was creeping up to the wall, they would blow the trumpet. Or as the scripture in Joel says, they'd lift up the ram's horn and let the alarming sound go out and give the warning so that people could be ready and not taken unaware. That's what we're called to do. We're called to blow the trumpet. Let the people know so they can be aware that they're walking in sin and so that they don't continue in it. If we bring it to light, it's their job to repent. It's their responsibility to turn to the Lord and repent. But it's our job to help them. It's our job to be the ones to draw them to the Lord, to be in that gap, to pray for them, to not just let it go. A spiritual watchman holds in his or her hand life and death. It's as if God has equipped their eyes and ears to hear danger and to see it, and has equipped them to know how to blow the horn and to give the warning and to call us to pray. Please turn with me to Joel 2, the first chapter. Joel was one of whom God equipped to be a spiritual watchman on the walls of his people, and especially when God himself had seen the sin of God's people and had chosen to bring judgment upon them. In the book of Joel, God used nature to do it, and he brought swarms of locusts and another devastating swarm of locusts, and then he sent fire. God alerted Joel in a way that nobody else had heard of. In Joel 2:1, listen to what God says, and listen to the phrase, "The day of the Lord." In the Old Testament, the day of the Lord was the day of God's judgment. When God comes against his people to judge them because of their sin, it is called the day of the Lord. So listen to God's instruction to Joel. "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand." When God was on the move to bring judgment on the people because of their sin, he alerted one of his own and heightened the capacity of that one to hear and to see, so they could be a watchman. Could I alert you to a role as a child of God? Certainly not. God has equipped you with spiritual eyes and ears, and it's not just for all pleasantries that they allow. Think about the wonderful things that you can see and hear because of your eyes and ears, the blessings that they are, and how bad it would be not to have those eyes and those ears. But God just doesn't give it to us for our goodness. It's so that we can hear and see and be there and warn in the times of trouble. There are times when God's judgment's coming. The enemy may be at the door, or the enemy may even have slipped in, and the beautiful harmony and joy and love is or may be disrupted. God gives you spiritual eyes to see where it's coming from, and he gives you discernment to understand it. If this is unchecked, it can destroy your family, and it can destroy your church. You may see it and hear it, but say to yourself, it's none of my business. Let me tell you, if you hear or see something that's potential great harm to the people of God, then listen to God. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he said to Joel. Sound the trumpet. Sound the trumpet. In Genesis 4:9, after Cain killed his brother Abel, God asked him where his brother was. And Cain said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" "Yes, you are." Galatians 6:1-2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are supposed to be our brother's keeper. It's your job to be a watchman and sound the trumpet. You might say, I've never been a person who does that. When God orders it and the life of His people are at stake, how could you possibly remain silent? In Ephesians 4:15, doesn't Paul say we can speak the truth in love? Perhaps God has called you to be a spiritual watchman over the youth group because God has put His hand on many of the youth and is calling them into ministry and missions. You're to watch over them and be sure what you see enter the youth group is not going to turn them away from the call of God into missions and the ministry and the things that have eternal significance. Has God called you to be a spiritual watchman on the walls? He's called us all. Are we willing to answer that call? In Ezekiel 33, God specifically talks establishing a watchman, talks to Ezekiel about establishing him as a watchman and what he ought to do. In verse 7, we read God saying to Ezekiel, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel." But God had something to say before that in the Scripture. Beginning at verse 1, God says, "Again." And let me ask you this. Who here is glad that God doesn't stop after the first time when we weren't paying attention? And He says, "Again, I say to you." I just thank Him so much for His grace. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I, meaning God, bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming again upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes the warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." I'm going to talk to you about a family watchman for a minute. How significant is it for parents to be alert and to be spiritual watchmen on the walls of their children? Parents must understand when something is happening in the life of their children that will have a lasting effect, which could be avoided if they warn them. They must be aware of it. Do not take lightly being a parent in the life of your children. I can assure you they will be bombarded on every side, especially a Christian young person going into high school or college. You must have spiritual eyes and ears, such as a watchman, to detect when the enemy is coming against one of your children. You need to blow the trumpet and sound the alarm and protect them and keep them headed in the right direction and in the perfect will of God for his or her life. A missionary watchman. How serious is it to be a watchman on the walls of our missionaries and our missionary families? We must pray for them and not leave them vulnerable. If you listen, God will instruct you when to pray, and He will guide you what to pray. God will, in fact, tell you if you should call them or if He wants you to write a letter and send it to them on the mission field. Keep covenant with them because a watchman carries life and death in his or her hand. It's a high calling. Can you answer the call? What about your role? Has God said, "I set you as a watchman"? If He has, He'll tell you your assignment. Are you watching over your children or grandchildren? Are you watching over your church family, brothers and sisters in the Lord? Where has God placed you in your prayer life? God calls you and me to be a watchman on the walls of His people somewhere. We can make excuses, but the enemy will come. God is wanting someone to blow the trumpet to warn them. You can say, nobody will listen to me. They may not listen to you personally, but they may listen to the warning that you give them. Don't let God's people down. So the question I would have for you is, does this apply to all Christians who know the truth and fail to warn unbelievers? Are we our brother's keeper? And the answer to these is yes. Can you respond? How can you be a watchman? Jesus tells us to be salt and light to a dying world. Matthew 5:13-16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father in heaven." Paul echoes this in Philippians 2:13-15. He says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, the children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine in light in the world, holding fast to the word of God, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." You know, I love verse 14. It says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." How many of us have a problem with that? Jesus says in Matthew 10:27, "Whatever I tell you in dark, speak in light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Don't hold back what God is telling you. That is what this is. God will speak to you. God will quicken in you. God will tell you something, and you're not to hold it back. Why? Because Jesus tells us to watch as we are waiting for His return. As Diana talked about when we were partaking of communion, we have a promise. We have a promise. And as we watch and wait for His return, as it says in Matthew 24:37-42, "But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women should be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." We don't know. The Word tells us that we're not promised tomorrow. And so many put off that sin because they think they have another day to get right with the Lord. They'll do it tomorrow, next week, next month, next Sunday at church. God is calling us to be a watchman. He's calling us to respond to this, to hold others, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, accountable with love, to draw them to or back to the Lord. It is so important that we hear, that we listen, that we be trained up, that we be prepared with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to see, to hear what God is telling us. It's not just for others. It's for ourselves. To be a spiritual watchman for us, so that we can hear, so that we can see, that we can be prepared, so that when Satan comes in against us, that when we allow a sin in, that we could recognize it, that we could stop it and turn away from it and repent and walk in His ways. Be right with the Lord. Narrow is the path. Few will find it. I want to be on that path with you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if I see you walking off that path, I'm going to lay hold of you so that you do not go. I will do what I can to save you, to be with you. I will tell you, no, here's the path. Don't cross that line. And God does that. God tells us, this is what my word says. Don't cross that line. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And the call continues to go out. Help wanted, watchmen needed, many positions available. The problem is, no one wants to answer that call. Nobody wants to answer that call. Because no one wants to be accountable. No one wants to hold anybody else accountable. They're afraid of what they might say. They're afraid of what they might think of them. We are called to be watchmen for our brothers and sisters, for our family, for our husbands, for our wives, children, grandchildren, our friends. Think about all the people that you come in contact with. If you're here, if you can hear this word, God is calling you to be a watchman. Be trained up. Be prepared. Don't hold back. Be prepared with the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears that God is calling you to, that you can see what God is trying to show you and deal with it. Blow the trumpet. Sound the warning. Whether it's in your own life or in someone else's, don't be afraid. Don't hold back. God's calling you. Answer the ad. Let's pray.